Our reading today continues our readings in the Gospel of Luke. It's verses 32 through 40. And we pray that by the Holy Spirit, along with our reading from Hebrews and along with the reading from the Psalms we just heard, it is the living word of God for us this day. Jesus is speaking and he says, "Do not be afraid, my little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief nor moth comes to destroy. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Be dressed for action. Keep your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves that the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would have not let his house be broken into. You must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." These words from Luke chapter 12, along with our other readings, are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now, friends, may we be led into the holy word of God. May we be led up to this table and down from it this day, that our eyes might be opened, our hearts might be filled, and our souls become a little wiser for the truth that we discover within. Amen. So over the years, I've spoken from time to time about what I call, and some other pastors call, life verses. Verses of scripture which speak to our souls and inspire us so greatly that they embed themselves within us. It's like they take root in our heart and our souls. And so they begin to shape and inform both our spiritual lives and our daily living. And whenever I've talked about this, over the last decade and a half almost now, two or three times, people will email me their life verse, or they'll stop me on the sidewalk and they'll say, "Hey, this one was mine." Proverbs 3 has come up over the years. "Trust in the Lord your God in all your ways, and do not rely upon your own insights. In all your ways acknowledge God, and God will make straight your paths." Psalm 23 comes up a lot. Not just "the Lord is my shepherd" at the beginning, but the last verse, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Psalm 84 hasn't come up all that often, but I do remember it when it did. "Better is one day in your courts, O God, than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my Lord than dwell in the tents of the wicked." It's a good verse. Matthew 5 comes up, the Beatitudes. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." And Matthew 7 comes up as well. Stop me if you've heard this one before, but above all, "Do unto other people as you would have them do unto you." From time to time, though, I'll say that people have told me that for them, it wasn't a verse of scripture, but a verse of a song or the verse of a hymn that has become a life verse, that has rooted it deep within themselves, their hearts and souls, and has begun to inform the spiritual lens by which they see the world. If I had to choose a hymn, although our opening hymn today was pretty good, that second verse, really fantastic, it would probably be this one: "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count as loss and pour contempt on all my pride." And that, for me, pretty much says it all in the way that I give thanks to God every moment of every day that Jesus is part of this world and part of my life. See, that's powerful. And so, like the verses of scripture, there are enough hymns and spiritual songs to where you can find a verse. It's practically limitless. If you need one, go out and find one. So why did I start this way today? Well, for the longest time, Luke 12, 32, the first verse I read this morning, has been for me the most cherished verse in the Bible. I've had many life verses over the years. Sometimes I have two or three that are rolling around in my head because I have the high privilege of being able to spend part of my day, every day as part of my job, reading scripture, thinking about it, working on a sermon, sharing a piece with someone else. That is indeed a privilege. It is one that I don't take lightly. But for Luke 12, it has been my favorite because all the way back in 2004 and 2005 when I was writing my doctoral project was all about what Jesus had to say about money in Luke 12. And that meant I spent the entire time for almost 2 years translating, studying Luke chapter 12. And Luke verse 12, 32 is right there in the beginning third of the chapter. So having read it hundreds of times, it had embedded itself in my heart. It planted itself deep within me. What's Luke 12, 32? Do not be afraid, my little flock or my flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I cannot tell you how beautiful that verse is. I don't have time today. We got to get to the Lord's Supper, right? We have other things to do besides me talk about the beauty of that verse, but it is simply glorious. Do not be afraid, the first word. It's the most common thing that Jesus ever says. It is, in fact, it's the first things the angels ever say about Jesus. There is no Christmas without the words, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, my flock, us. Don't be afraid. When the world gets big, when it gets you down, when life is pressing, stop being afraid. Why? Because it is the Father's, that is God's, good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It doesn't just mean that God is going to bless us with the kingdom. It means that blessing us gives God joy. It's not just some empty transaction where God says, okay, I guess on Tuesday you'll get a blessing. It is like, it is so good that my heart explodes, God says, when I get to bless you. Do not be afraid, for it is the God's Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God, that heavenly and eternally inspired reality where the peace of God and the wonder of grace and the promise of justice flows over all things. And not only, like I said, is it a promise of God, it brings God pleasure. I can't begin to tell you, and I hope you can imagine how much I do indeed love this verse. Like I said, I spent most of 2005, studying Luke 12. And the whole chapter of this piece of scripture is Jesus talking to the disciples and to the crowds. He is preaching. He is teaching. He is giving warnings. He is giving parables, metaphors. Jesus first warns us about being hypocrites. Don't say one thing and do another. Then he calls us to fearless confession of our faith. Don't miss the opportunity to share what we believe. He warns us about greed with what's called the parable of the rich fool. He exhorts us not to worry about the times in which we live, not to worry about all the things that we worry about. And trust me, being a pastor, I can tell you that we all worry about things. Instead, he says to trust God as we strive for that promised kingdom, ending with, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be given to you. That could be a life verse as well, Luke chapter 12, verse 31, right before we began today. Like I said, after lots of study in Luke 12, I think the main lesson that Jesus is trying to teach us is found in verses 33 and 34, where Jesus says, make for yourselves unfailing treasure in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your treasure and your heart are supposed to be aligned. That sounds to me like Jesus is speaking in a proverb. He is sharing both wisdom and he's giving a promise. That's what proverbs do. They direct us through little snippets of scripture into living more righteously and more faithfully. And whenever Jesus Christ gives to us a proverb, we should give him our full attention. That's a good time to pay attention to what is on the page. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what is treasure? Well, treasure on one level, he's talking about is the response to the greed for money and for possessions that often consumes our thinking and our living. He doesn't want us to invest ourselves in things that can never love us back. Some of us in here are old enough to remember the old movie and the regrettable character Gordon Gekko. They were wrong. He was wrong. Greed is not good. It isn't. It is a plague upon our hearts and our souls. Treasure here, of course, is also neither ex-narcs the spot, nor is it pirate treasure. That's not what we're talking about. It's not even your family heirlooms. I am practically addicted to that Antiques Roadshow thing. Right? And the first thing that comes on the screen is the word America's treasures. Right? And as precious as they might be, that's not what Jesus is talking about either. No, that's not what he's talking about. Instead, he is talking about the spiritual place, the spiritual plane, treasure being what we most value in the core of our hearts and our souls. And Jesus, here in Luke 12, like many other places, has made it clear that we often value the things that we should not. He says in Luke 12, you invest all your time in worry and not aligning your hearts in the right place. You spend all your time building bigger barns for yourselves instead of giving your heart over to me. See, we get wrong the most basic loyalties of human life, and that is that Jesus wants us to value our faith in God and our relationship with him and our neighbors near and far more than anything else. What is real treasure? It's faith in God and the relationships that we fill our lives with. After nearly 30 years in studying theology and history and sociology, after meeting nearly every type of person that God has allowed me to all over this earth, after hearing thousands of stories about the best moments in people's lives and the worst moments in people's lives, I am convinced that God has planted the twin seeds of faith and relationship deep within our hearts and our souls, and without one of them or both of them, we easily get lost. That's why many times the saddest and most withdrawn people, the most lost people, the most broken people that we know in our lives, many times, not all the times, but many times those people are those who have cut themselves off from God and from the people around them. The pivotal question is, what then do we treasure in our hearts and our souls? Is it faith? Is it the love of relationships, the blessings of friendships, the wonder of family, or is it something else? If it is something else, then I guess the answer to the question of what is it that we treasure can have as many variables as there are people on this earth. I'm just not so sure that most of that out there is going to love us and shape us in here. Now, the words I'm about to share now were written in 400 AD. That's right, he said 400 AD. By St. Augustine or St. Augustine in a book that he wrote called Confessions. And these words are magisterial. The work is magisterial. It is honestly the first great, and maybe it's the ultimate Christian classic. Its most famous quote has been quoted and read or sort of put to mind by every learned preacher for 2,000 years. And his words, even though written in 400 AD, speak directly to us today. Here's what he writes, quote, "Great are you, O Lord, and exceedingly worthy of praise. Your power is immense and your wisdom beyond reckoning. And so we, who are a due part of your creation, long to praise you. We also carry our mortality with us. We carry the evidence of our sin with it and the proof that you want to thwart the proud. You arouse us so that praising you may bring us joy because you have made us and drawn us to yourself, and our heart is restless until it finds rest in you." Our heart is restless until it finds rest in you. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Treasure is supposed to be vested in God. And it sounds to me that Augustine or Augustine, perhaps the greatest Christian writer who ever lived, that he had read Luke 12, not to mention some other things. Because just like Jesus, he wants us to be alert and ready to discern the will and presence of God wherever we can. You see, God has not stopped speaking or inspiring. It's just too many of us and those all around us have stopped listening and watching. I stand before you to say that the beginning of all spiritual ill and all human fracturing begins with the fracture of relationships. That's the basis of all national conflict. It's the basis for nearly all forms of warfare. It's the basis in divided families, communities, churches, colleges, institutions, and all things in between. The question for us, dear friends, is will we treasure what God has given us in Jesus? And will we treasure those whom God has placed around us? Jesus has painted a very clear picture in Luke 12. Will we dare to have our hearts, our souls, our lives treasure the very things that Jesus has told us to treasure above all others? Because when our hearts treasure the right things, that's what makes us ready. That's when our lamps are lit. That's what keeps us watchful for the next great thing which God is going to do. So treasure in hearts, dear ones, hearts and treasures. That's the very testing of faith that Jesus sees in the human condition and in the human soul. And we would all do most well to follow his example. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, may we be touched and invigorated by these many offerings from Luke 12. And may we join one another with open hearts and minds at this table. Amen.
Now, my friends, your charge is to examine your hearts. Discover where your treasure is. And I know that can be daunting, so heed those words of Jesus, "Be not afraid, my flock." And as you do that, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and grant you his peace, not fear, but his peace, both now and forevermore. Amen.